Hey everyone, just a little heads up before we get into today's episode of The Headquarters. John and I were recording, and the recording decided to stop like 47 minutes in. Thankfully, I had a backup recording going, but I didn't start that backup until about 10 minutes into the show. So it's going to be a bit of an awkward sort of transition into the show. I'll try to edit it as best as I can. So we're going to come into the conversation is John and I are sort of talking about the Raptors starting five and whether or not Patrick Patterson should be inserted into it at this point. So you pick up with John sort of in the middle of a conversation about how the Raptors, you know, when they come across better opponents, they might get sort of, victimized by having a weaker starting lineup out there. But we got most of the good meat in there. We talked about the upcoming road trip. We talked a bit about sort of the, the monotony of playing really good basketball against bad teams for the Raptors. So you'll come in sort of in the middle of that, I guess. But we have lots of good stuff. We have the episode sponsor and all that as well at the end of the show. So apologies that you're going to miss the sort of start of the show and the intro, but most of the good stuff is after the backup recording started anyway. So hope you enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you in 2017. There won't be an episode next week just because of the holidays and schedules and things going on, but very much appreciate anyone who's listened, and have a very Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and a wonderful holiday. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you very soon. Enjoy the show.
But, you look for the bellwether games, the games where maybe it's like, okay, they get slammed really hard, and then you have to force a change. And maybe that'll come on this road trip, with the Blazers are a potent offensive team that can have a backcourt that can pick apart kind of the pick-and-roll defense of Siakam and Valanciunas. The Warriors are obviously a team that have done it already this year and probably will look to take advantage of that again. And then you've got the Spurs at the end of the road trip, which are always a team that, do their homework, come in with a well-prepared game plan. And every team, it seems, for the Raptors, opponents that comes in with that game plan of, continually going at their weakness, which is that 4-5 starting lineup. Mm-hmm. If they get out to a big lead or get out to, a 10-12 point lead in the first quarter, the Raptors have to dig themselves out of it with their better lineups. And it just goes back to, why wouldn't you start the game against these teams with your best five out there?
Yeah.
And that's just what it keeps coming back to for me. Like, you can rejigger the lineups any way you want, but it's just at the point where they're good now. They're 20-8, and I know you shouldn't change things when the goings are good, but when would it be better to make that change when you're 20-8? You have some breathing room over 3-10 in the Eastern Conference. Why not just go for it and see if it's going to work out or not?
That's exactly my point, is that, this is a time the Raptors have established themselves as the second best team in the East. If you're going to experiment with stuff, this is the time to do it. The fact that, over the course of, 28 games now, that lineup with Patterson and the starters has only played in 17 games. Yeah, there's been some Carroll sitting out and Valanciunas missing some games and Patterson missed last night. But the fact that it's only played 101 minutes in the 17 minutes it's played together, so like just over 5 minutes a game, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, that's your best lineup, and it's been absolutely obliterating teams. Get it 10, 12 minutes a game. Like, that will, help you in the long run and sort of mitigate any issues you have sort of, with the rotation and any points you might give back with your sort of lessened bench units. And the other thing, too, is like, yeah, you don't want to totally eliminate the use of Lowry and the bench mob or the Extinction lineup or the Jurassic 5 or whatever you want to call it. But the thing is, you can still use that lineup. Starting Patterson doesn't forbid you from going to that lineup at certain points throughout the game. You take Patterson, you take Lowry out at the 4 minute mark of the first quarter, for example, you bring him right back for the start of the second and you get them some run there. There's times where you can work it out, or you can even completely rejigger how you use it. And, maybe you sit, Valanciunas, Carroll, and DeRozan at the 4 minute mark or the 5 minute mark of the first quarter. Bring in Ross, bring in Bebe, bring in Joseph, and then use that lineup at the end of the first quarter. Like, there's different ways you can go about using that lineup and getting it run. And it's also been super effective, so you want to make sure you're using that too. And hey, if you can get like 18 minutes where, you're using those two lineups at one of those times, like, it's just, you're getting this point where you can kind of stagger, and not just stagger stars, but stagger lineups and sort of have as many minutes of a game as you possibly can where you have your two best lineups on the floor. That's probably a pretty good winning formula.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like I said, it's just a matter of changing things up and, taking the initiative to give it a try. And you're right at this point. Why not try it? Why not try it? You're about to go on a road trip. Give it a shot. See how it works out. If you have to come back and go back to it, or change things up. Like, and the other thing is that everything's going to change when Jared Sellinger eventually comes back
anyway. Yeah, I wanted to ask about this. Yeah.
So why not give it a shot now? And if Jared Sellinger comes back and is the bench four instead of Patterson, so be it. I think that last year we went through this with Luis Scola winning the job in training camp and then us waiting 82 games for the roles to change, even though it was apparent that the starting lineup was getting whacked on a nightly basis. It's not necessarily as bad this year, but it's the same scenario, essentially. Except this time, you've got the guy you expected to be the starting four coming back at some point, probably January, February.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a change that's going to happen anyway, so why not play with it now?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is if you use this sort of buffer time between now and whenever Sullinger comes back, say it's 4 weeks. You use this time to start Patterson, see if it works, see if you can sort of finesse the rotations to sort of make up for the fact that you're changing things around and maybe Patterson isn't available to play with the reserves as often. And then if it doesn't work and you're really struggling after 4 weeks where you have enough time to look at it, then you can go back to it and maybe, you know, just insert Sullinger into the starting five and just go with the original plan. But you're never going to know that unless you just do it now and you know, try to get enough of a sample to look at to see if it's going to work. I mean, I think everything on paper says it's going to work. I mean, let me ask you this. Like, there's this whole sort of Patterson, he can't play as a starter, he doesn't have the mentality to play as a starter nonsense. You can sense in my voice that I think it's absurd. Are you with me? Like, do you put any stock in that? Because I just don't. I think there's been people who were like, oh, he couldn't do it in the playoffs. That's just patently false. Like, those lineups were fine. That lineup was fine in the playoffs. It just, DeRozan and Lowry were struggling. It's the playoffs, so things are tougher. You're not going to completely obliterate teams night after night. And, not a very big sample size because not long after Patterson got inserted into the starting lineup in the first series of the playoffs, Valanciunas went out, and you couldn't go back to that lineup again. You had Carroll not at 100%. Like, there's a whole bunch of factors as to why that lineup was only like a plus 10 and not the plus 35 it is. I don't think there's any sort of reason to think Patterson can't excel as a starter and do all the things he does so well just in a starting role and just having his minutes played at different times of the game. But, you know, I don't know. If it matters to Patterson, maybe that we're not giving it enough stock. And if it's something that's in his own head, maybe that's something. But I don't know. Like, what do you think about that whole sort of straw man that, you know, Patterson can't start?
Yeah, I mean, he's said that he prefers coming off the bench, but you never know if that's him being, like, the good soldier or whether that's actually how he feels.
Right.
I don't know if there's many NBA players of his stature, you know, the constant contributor type, who would not want to, as a competitive person, be a starter and start the game for the team, which obviously comes with a bit of pedigree. But, you know, for the people who say that it didn't work out in the playoffs last year and that's proof, it's like taking an exam and just like not having studied at all or not having taken the classes before that.
Yeah.
And just like skipping the whole semester and then sitting down and trying to take the exam. Like, you can't judge him on the results of those playoff games. Even, like you say, you know, visually it didn't work out, but, you know, on paper it was okay, and it just, you know, it's not really up to Patterson to spark the offense. It's just that's on Lowry and DeRozan. And like you said, they're both struggling. So, you know, it just goes back to, we need a bigger sample size of seeing how Patterson is with the starters. We have an enormous sample size of how great he is with those four guys. So it doesn't really, I don't really buy that it would change just because he's coming in cold at the start of the game. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, me either. And again, like, I think there is a sort of thing where if things matter to NBA players or athletes and we think it's dumb, if it matters to them, then you have to put some stock into it. But I don't think there's enough sort of evidence to prove that Patterson has a mentality thing or whatever, like to have an issue with coming in as a starter. Like, again, let's just see it and see if it works first. And, you know, Dwayne Casey has done a good job this season of experimenting, and he did last night. You know, Patterson was out, I didn't watch the game, but from all accounts, they went to some small lineups just to test things out. Casey's done a really good job of that this season. That Patterson-Carroll front court has been pretty nice, although I think we saw the limits of it against Dwight Howard on Friday. I'm not sure it should have been run for that long, but, none of the Raptors' bigs were shutting down Dwight Howard in that game, but I don't. I just think Casey has done a really good job of just experimenting, and even just the sheer act of putting Patterson in to start second halves over the last three games before he sat out against Brooklyn, that shows that Casey's willing to test that out too. And I think we're really only one step away from him doing it. And I feel like this all sort of, you know, I don't want to disparage Siakam either, because Siakam is, you know, for what he is, the 27th overall pick, he's been super impressive, and he's flashing a lot of things that I think are really promising long term. But you know, you mentioned how teams sort of, you know, focus and try to attack the Raptors front court when their game plan is geared towards getting, you know, buckets against Siakam and Valanciunas. You don't even really have to attack Siakam. He just kind of makes mistakes himself a lot of the time. It's like he'll overhelp here, he'll be over energetic here, go for a steal and miss, and he's out of position. But you know, I think, you know, he's piling up the blocks a lot more lately, which shows, you know, the crazy athleticism and sort of quickness that he has, that I think once it's channeled properly is going to make him a really solid defender. But yeah, so let's say nice things about Patterson, say Siakam. Do you have nice things to say about Siakam before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, he's filled the role, I think, way past expectations for what we had at the beginning of the year when the Solinger injury came out. And I think that's the biggest testament to how great the draft picks have been for the last couple years. And he's been able, and he's been, you know, teams are leaving him on the offensive end, but he has shown the ability to, you know, knock down a mid-range shot or finish at the rim. He's obviously a superior energy player, so that's good to see. He fills the role, but you'd still like that for there to be, you know, a five-man lineup, a true five-man lineup on offense to start the game. So that's where, you know, you'd want to see Patterson. And maybe that him starting third quarters was a dry run for, you know, a starting role in one of these games where it's probably going to be a bit closer, whether it's against the Jazz, Blazers, or Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one could always hope that maybe it was, you know, against teams where you would expect they would win, like the 76ers, Magic, and Nets. Maybe it was a dry run to try something where he starts against a tougher team.
What do you think about the potential Siakam-Bebe? If they just do a straight swap in terms of, I mean, Patterson's going to play a lot more minutes than Siakam, of course. He's going to stick around 30 minutes, you would assume, if you were switching to the starting lineup. But you would inevitably see Siakam next to Bebe at times, I would think. Maybe not for long stretches, maybe for, like, I don't know, 6 minutes a game here and there. But what do you make of that pairing? Because it's very mobile and athletic and fun and shot blocky, but there are definitely some sort of issues with nuance and team defense there that I think could really get exposed by second units.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. Like, if the playoffs were to start today, I think Siakam probably falls out of the rotation entirely.
Yeah, for sure.
Patterson starts, and then it's a Bebe plus four unit, and then you play more minutes with Carroll at the four. So, I mean, in the regular season, if you want to get their feet wet, I think you could run that out against second units, against, you know, poor second units, on teams that have a really struggling bench, like the Wizards or something like that. But, that 4-5, I think that it's just too weak on team defense to give you much. And neither of those guys are creators on offense.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Bebe's at least usable.
Yeah, they're usable, but they're, you know, defensively, they don't really have to, the teams don't really have to watch him like they're much of a threat, and it might affect spacing too. So I think that's a predicament if Patterson starts. But again, I think you can change the lineups enough to where you get Siakam maybe playing some 5 minutes with a small lineup or something like that.
Yeah, I think Siakam's going to be part of the rotation until Solinger returns, and you probably are going to have to sort of weather some minutes there. But I mean, there's ways to get around that as well too, right? Like, you bring in Valanciunas with the second unit and play with Siakam a little bit more. You have Patterson, you know, you'll still have minutes ideally with Lowry in the bench mob, and you'll be able to have Patterson with Bebe out there. So hopefully you can limit the amount of minutes those two would get, the amount of exposure, if that were to happen. But it's kind of just a numbers game, right? Like, they need that fourth big man. Because you can't go small against every team. We've seen it. You know, there are other teams. Like, the Jazz, for example. The Raptors aren't going small against the Jazz. That doesn't really seem possible for them, unless, like, Boris Diaw was playing at the four for a little bit. But, you know, I just think where was I even going with this? I do think it's sort of all leading to Pascal Siakam eventually falling out of the rotation when Jared Sullinger comes back, and you know then Sullinger is used probably as a backup five here and there, and you know maybe that he's better probably as a backup five than Siakam at this point just because he's bulkier and is a better rebounder. Siakam has been a real problem on the rebounding side of things. He's just not strong enough to box guys out at this point, and that's sort of been one of the low-key problems with, maybe even high-key problems with how the Raptors have not been able to grab rebounds so far this season. Siakam's really played a part in that. So I think it's all leading towards Siakam falling out of the rotation and potentially becoming like a D-League guy in the back half of the season, which will seem like a demotion considering how he started the season, but you know I don't think it's a demotion whatsoever. I think that's probably what everyone expected would be sort of the case with Siakam, and I think that's the fact that you've gotten these minutes with him to sort of develop him on the fly is a real nice positive for a guy in his first season who really wasn't expected to play much at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to come back and we're going to preview the Raptors' road trip, maybe make some predictions and all that fun stuff. And then we're also going to answer some holiday-themed questions from the listeners. And we'll wrap things up with our episode sponsor and all that fun stuff as well. So we'll be back in just a second here on Headquarters. Okay, welcome back to the headquarters. Sean Woodley here with John Godis. Gonna dive into the Raptors' upcoming road trip. A six-game monster of a road trip for Toronto as they head out west over Christmas during the illustrious World Junior Hockey Championship. John, you're from the Prairies. You're from Winnipeg. How big a deal is the World Juniors there?
Nobody in my house watches it. I mean, I spend so much time with family over the break that I kind of just tune out everything but basketball because that's just like Christmas is like basketball day, and this year it's basketball and football day, so I feel like I'd be cheating by watching any hockey whatsoever. So, sorry, Canada. I won't be watching any of the World Juniors.
Yeah, I'm not really into watching children play hockey anymore. It was cool when I was like 11 and like they seemed like big grown adults, but now they're just hockey bros to me.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to look at the Raptors' upcoming road trip. As I said, they're gone while the World Juniors are going on here in Toronto. Six games, six different cities. They play the Utah Jazz on Friday. They follow that up 2 days, 3 nights later on Boxing Day against the Portland Trailblazers. You get the Warriors on the 28th, back-to-back against Phoenix on the 29th, and then the Lakers on January 1st, and the Spurs to close it out on January 3rd. A tough road trip, and they return to a pretty tough schedule as well. When you look at it, they play a home game against the Jazz. They go to Chicago to play the Bulls, which always ends terribly. Then they have the Rockets and Celtics after that. So a tough stretch of schedule here for the Raptors, who have played a really plum schedule over the last couple weeks here. So I think it'll be nice to get a little test here in the middle of the season for the Raptors, make sure there's not too much complacency coming in, because I feel like that probably happened a little bit last week with the 40-point third quarter to the Sixers, which was weird and very Atlantic Division-y by the Sixers. And the Friday game against the Hawks just reeked of, you know, we already beat this team by 40-something. We know we're better. Let's not really play that hard. But I don't like to accuse players of not playing hard, but like the defense in that game just was very uninterested. But let's look forward. The first real tough, excellent opponent the Raptors have played since probably the Cleveland Cavs is the Utah Jazz on Friday. They're dealing with a ton of injuries because they're the Utah Jazz, and they're always dealing with a ton of injuries. But like, this is a game I'm looking forward to. I think it's the first time in like 3 years the Raptors have gone in and not been on a back-to-back in Utah, so that's nice. I don't know, what are you looking for from this game? The Jazz are fun, they're very big, they're physical. Rudy Gobert has been a monster lately. He is, he's like a super-duper version of DeAndre Jordan at this point. Just, excellent on offense. He's shooting like 70% from the field, and he is probably one of the front runners for Defensive Player of the Year. What are you looking for from this game?
Yeah, I like this matchup just because it will test the Raptors, because this is a team that can lock down basically at every position, and it's nice, well, not nice that George Hill is injured, but, you know, it's good that the Raptors will actually have an advantage at one position, you know, with Kyle Lowry, obviously.
Kyle Lowry hated playing against George Hill in the playoffs.
Yeah, he does.
So much.
And that's one matchup this year that he won't have to see. There's one, obviously, later where Hill could be back, but it's January 5th, so probably not. Mm-hmm. So maybe he got totally lucky this year. But anyways, I'm excited to see the Gobert-Valanciunas matchup. Gobert shut down Marc Gasol earlier this week, and I'd be curious to see if Valanciunas can't put up a fight, because you know JV is so effective against prototypical centers like Rudy Gobert, and there's so few of them left in the league. But Valanciunas tends to score pretty well in those matchups, and he's going to be a really big key, because going up against bigger teams, he becomes a much bigger asset for the Raptors as the game kind of slows down. So I'm excited to see him. He had a really good game. I can't remember if it was against – yeah, it was against the Magic. He had a really nice 16-13 game against the Magic, and I would like to see him continue on that kind of stretch. And he's had his struggles, obviously, in the last month or so, but if he's turning the corner, that's going to be good news in this game.
Yeah, the Jazz aren't a team that's going to pull him away from the basket with the pick and pop or a shooty, you know, stretchy five, so that's good. And yeah, the Raptors are probably not going to be able to go small too often in this game because the Jazz are massive, and if Derek Favors is in, he's out half the time too. It's so that team is just depressingly injured all the time. But if those guys are playing, like they're just very big, and they're going to be a lot of, you know, they're going to present a lot of problems for the Raptors, who have had trouble grabbing rebounds. That game against the Hawks, they just got completely dominated by Dwight Howard. They got out rebounded like 44-28, which just, you can't have that ever. It was an ugly performance. And the Jazz, you know, there's definitely that sort of potential with them. Games against the Jazz are always fun. DeMar DeRozan, maybe he'll dunk on Rudy Gobert again. That'll be fun. Moving on, though, to Boxing Day, the Raptors played the Portland Trail Blazers, who have been super disappointing this year. Boogie Cousins destroyed them last night. That was fun, I suppose. Boogie got really weird in that game and prompted a tweet from John Gotis, which was chided by Raptors Twitter, who desperately wants to see Boogie Cousins in a Raptors uniform.
Don't get me in, but
save it for another pod when we're light on content.
Yeah.
The Blazers game, like, I don't know, I think this whole road trip is weird because it very much mirrors in a way the trip that they went on a couple years ago when they started the season like 24-7 and they were just obliterating teams. DeRozan had just gone out, but Lowry was playing at the peak of his powers in that season. And they go on this Western road trip at the World Juniors and everything kind of fell apart. There was that super exciting and fun game against the Blazers right around the same time, but you know, that after that it just kind of went downhill from there. I don't think the Raptors are going to have sort of a similar fall. I think the offense is too good, and I think the defense is good enough that they're going to be just fine, and they're deep, and they're, you know, more talented than they were a couple of years ago. But weird sort of parallels between these two trips. What do you expect from the Blazers game?
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's not good that the Jazz are the team that's starting this road trip, and I think that's going to be a beat 'em up game.
Yeah.
The Portland is kind of a situation where you don't want the Hawks game to repeat itself. Like, they're going to have to really focus in on defense and just give effort on that end, because scoring against the Blazers is going to be cake. Like, yeah, they can put up 135 in this game, no problem. It's a historic offense going against the worst defense, I think, in the league right now.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have a problem scoring. That's just what it comes down to. So if they can hold the Blazers to 100 to 110, it's not asking a lot, they're going to win this game. And that's really all it comes down to for me.
Yeah, the Blazers are, I kind of expected this fallback. I don't like their talent drop off after CJ McCollum.
They're horrid on defense. Like, yeah, they're just awful.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Boss Davis. We love you, but yeah, it's, like Myers Leonard's not getting it done. Mason Plumlee's there? Yeah, it's Mason Plumlee.
Yeah.
They're not getting, yeah, it's not a, and Alfred Camino's been out too, which hurts for them because he's probably their best defensive player.
Sure.
So yeah, but anyway, moving on. We'll pick a prediction for at the end of the entire road trip. We won't go game by game, but the Warriors
penciled
game.
Penciled in L.
What's that?
The penciled in L. Is that what we're getting to?
Yeah. So the Warriors game is Wednesday. It's the first half of a back to back. You would assume Damari Carroll plays this game if his back to back restriction is still in effect. They haven't had a back to back in a couple weeks at this point. It'd be like 3 weeks by the time they play this game. So we don't really know if the back-to-back effect is still in for Carroll, but if it is, I bet he plays against the Warriors. Unless the Raptors decide to go full-scale Knicks and just not play anybody, what do you think? Do you think the Raptors should do that with the Suns coming up the next game, a very much more winnable game?
Yeah, this is kind of a shit scenario to try to beat the Warriors, I think, because it's a 4-5 nights situation.
Yeah.
The Warriors are now developing into the best defensive team in the league as well as the best offensive team. I think they're 2-2 right now as far as offensive defensive rating goes, behind Memphis on the defense and behind obviously the Raptors on offense. So,
significantly behind the Raptors on offense.
Yeah, they're hitting the peak of their powers though, and that's obviously frightening. And the worst thing you want to happen is losing a close game to the Warriors, getting, you know, exhausted, and then heading to Phoenix for a winnable game against the Suns and just getting beat by a really poor team. So maybe this is the situation where you just sit guys. I don't know if that's something that's in Dwayne Casey's DNA. Maybe he sits one of the two stars for maintenance or some reason. I don't see, like, everybody sitting in that situation.
But, I truthfully don't see Casey resting anybody. I don't think that's, you mentioned, it's not really his DNA.
Yeah, I think you just pencil in a loss here and kind of hope that they get, you know, I don't want them to get beat up, but you kind of want it to be over with early, because the worst thing that could happen is that this carries over and they lose to the Suns as well, and it turns into kind of a loss-loss, and then you've got the Lakers, and you don't want it to snowball in any way.
Yeah, it's only a three game. It's the Warriors game will be part of three games in four nights. It's not as, like, the schedule on this road trip isn't too grueling. There's 2 days off between the Jazz and Blazers. There's 2 days off between the Suns and Lakers. So, like, there's at least some breathing room here. But yeah, that two game stretch is going to be tough.
There's even Los Angeles though.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, okay, that's, oh my god, I didn't think about that.
You see, it could snowball really quickly.
Oh my, I did not think about that. Okay, yeah, recalibrating my expectation for this road trip now. yeah, the thing is too, the Raptors always play the Warriors tough, which is annoying, because they're never going to beat them, or they never have beat them, and it's always just, they're very close but don't do it, and it's super frustrating, and then yeah, it tires them out for the game following. So, yeah, I'm with you. I wish they would rest their guys for this game. I don't think they will, because I don't think Casey's about that, but I think that'll be a pencil to nail. I do think the Suns are so bad, though, that they could just beat the Suns on the second night of a back-to-back, and it's not going to be too challenging, because the Suns stink, but we don't even need to talk about the Suns game. I don't think I've watched one Suns game all year.
I haven't watched them at all.
Yeah, I think I've watched one, and I won't be going through the Alex Len experience anymore, because I got enough Jonas Valanciunas, who's just a better Alex Len. New Year's Day, you mentioned the hangover day. The Raptors play the Lakers. I did not realize that they were going to be in LA for New Year's Eve with a day off beforehand to prepare. Damn, it's not like they're flying in late and like, oh, I'm too tired to party tonight. No, they're going to be going hard.
And DeRozan knows the spots, man.
As you said, you know, DeRozan and Lowry, they're dads. My hope is that they go to bed or at a reasonable hour.
DeRozan is for sure in the gym New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's going to be the young guys.
Sets off some fireworks maybe outside, then gets into the gym and shoots some jump shots.
Who do you think is, like, the hardest partier on the Raptors? Because, like, there isn't really an obvious candidate.
Yeah, Terrence Ross is a father now. Yeah, a lot of these guys are getting older.
I guess Ross would have been the easy answer before.
Yeah, like, I would say Ross, but it's probably not the case. Like, you know, Powell is pretty quiet, but he's a young guy.
Yeah, he'll hold the spots, too.
Patterson and Powell. I'm going to say those two.
Powell's going to take him to those UCLA bars.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so yeah, what do you think about that Lakers game? I think the Raptors probably still have a good chance of winning it, because the Lakers will also be in LA for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers are potent, but they've kind of fallen back to earth a little bit from, you know, a month ago when we were touting them as a playoff team. You know, they're 11-20 now. Again, a winnable game. It's kind of like a souped down version of the Blazers game, where if you can hold them to a certain point total, I think that they just can't defend the Raptors to any degree. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is going to be one of those situations where they just need to show up on defense, and they're going to win by 20.
Yeah, and the last game is against the Spurs. The Raptors always play the Spurs well, too. That's the thing. The Raptors over the last couple of years have always been, like, they rarely get blown out by the best teams. And the Raptors rarely get blown out, period. They still haven't lost a game by more than 8 points, which is crazy at this point that they're 28 games into the season. You know, that might happen at one of these games over the course of the road trip. But the Spurs game, what do you expect from that one? The Spurs are different, but they're still potent and winning a ton of games. I keep being less scared by them as I probably should be, because They're without, obviously, Timmy D, and, like, LaMarcus Aldridge is fine, and Pau Gasol was a guy I never wanted on the Raptors, even though people wanted him, because I don't think Pau Gasol is super effective anymore. Obviously, Kawhi is horrifying, and that might be a really rough night for DeMar DeRozan if he gets the DeMar assignment, but what do you think from the Spurs game? What do you expect to see?
Yeah, I think the Raptors, you know, they're a good team at this point, and they game plan well, and I think that they'll have Pau Gasol, you know, circled with the red pen when they have the opportunity to go at him in 1-4 pick and rolls with Kyle Lowry. I think you're right that the Leonard on DeRozan thing is going to be problematic for the Raptors, but you know, DeRozan has shown that he's able to be efficient this year, even with really good defenders on him, and obviously Kawhi's the best of the best. So I'm excited to see that individual matchup, but also to see how the Raptors take advantage of Pau Gasol, because that's obviously a matchup that every team wants to exploit, but I think the Raptors, especially with their backcourt, are well suited to take advantage. And Valanciunas against Aldridge will be interesting too.
Yeah, for sure. So okay, we are through the road trip. And let's make a pick. There's six games, obviously. I think, you know, if you're asking for 5-1, that's probably not going to happen. It's a tough road trip. There's a lot of really difficult opponents and weird scheduling quirks in the middle. I don't know. I think I'll take the Raptors going 3-3 in this game. I think they'll beat the Jazz Friday. I think they'll win the Blazers game, and I think they'll split the Suns Lakers. I think they'll lose one of those games, but I think they'll take one as well. So I'll go 3-3. What do you got?
I'm going to go 4-2. I think they lose to the Warriors and the Spurs, but I think they're just good enough to win the other games. The Jazz is the biggest question mark out of those other four.
Right.
So that'll be that's a really good test. Like that'll be a good game to watch out of these six, because I think you can kind of expect a little better on the other five about the result. Yeah. So I'm gonna be hopeful and say that they get through that Suns Lakers patch well, irregardless of Hollywood on New Year's Eve. And give them a 4-2.
Yeah, would you be blown away if they won one of the games against the Warriors or Spurs?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
The Warriors game especially. The Spurs would surprise me less, but I think this is just one of those trips where it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some bumps in the road, and I think those two teams are the best to take advantage of them.
For sure. Okay, yeah, I'll go 3-3. And I think Will Liu made this point on his reaction podcast last night after the Nets game, that even if the Raptors go 0-6 on this road trip, they're probably still second in the East, which is a testament to the work they've done so far this season. So, and they're not going to go 0-6. They'll probably be right around. Even if they go 2-4, like, it's probably fine, and like it's probably explainable, I would think.
They're four games up in the loss column now, and
yeah.
It's just a mess. It's just a mess after that. So, and, 3-3 is great.
This is the last time they have to go to the Western time zone this season. So that's good. Nice to get that out of the way early. It's not like you have a late season road trip that you have to go on. So that's good. This was always the kind of road trip when I used to, you know, watch the Raptors in the mid-2000s, where it was like, all right, here starts the slide. They're going to go 1-5, and it's going to be terrible. Like, it's nice not feeling that just sort of overwhelming sense of dread going into a Western road trip anymore.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, let's get to some questions. Most of them are holiday themed because of the time of year. And so we will look through some of these. There's a lot of questions that came in. Okay.
Yeah, we're really popular this week.
Oh, here's the thing. I liked them all from the Raptors HQ account. I didn't like them from my account, so I had a hard time finding them in my likes because they weren't there. All right. Let's go. First question comes from Arun Srinivasan. Christmas Arun, at Arun Things, our guy. What are the Raptors wishing for from Santa?
Do you want to go first? Is this just like gifts or?
I don't know.
Well, I'll go first.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Jared Solinger. He's out of the boot. He's out of his scooter. He's standing still taking jump shots. It's been a really slow road for him. I'm hopeful that he's going to be back, and I think the Raptors are hopeful too, just to see how this team dynamic changes, and you'd like it to happen quickly. So let's say a quick end of recovery period here for Jared Solinger.
My Christmas wish for the Raptors is Paul Millsap.
Oh man,
it'll be one of those, like, you know, sometimes you would get like, I would get like Raptors tickets for Christmas, and it would be like a January game, so it's like a delayed Christmas present, but you get to look forward to it for a little while. And yeah, so in like February 5th, when the trade happens, it'll be a lovely, like, oh, Christmas is still happening for me. This is beautiful. So
yeah, that's good.
It's not happening, but all right. Next question comes from John Godis. Can one of us do our best Matty D impression while the other plays Jack, interjecting with carols?
Oh, no, I didn't actually want to do this.
Well, we have to now. You asked the damn question.
Okay, well, you're singing then.
Fine, you be Matty D.
All right. Okay. Assassin's Creed. Coming soon to PS4. And now...
You know, I love that Michael Fassbender.
That's brutal. That was the worst thing we've ever done in this podcast.
No. Sure. Keep going. Because I have to get carols in there, so keep going.
Okay. What else would be a Matty D thing?
I don't know. Talking about the World Juniors.
All right. This week on TSN, it's the World Junior Hockey Championships from Toronto and Montreal.
Happy holidays!
Oh, you love the holidays,
Jack. Happy holidays!
That's right. Every year.
It's Christmas time in the city.
Corey Joseph from Pickering.
Oh, that was podcasting.
Yeah, that was it. That will not be cut. Now that's out there forever on the internet.
I'm far too lazy to edit that, so yeah. We're screwed now. All right, next one comes from Mitch Robson. What's your favorite track on the Armstrong Eric Smith Christmas album?
You know, I haven't actually listened to this, and I keep trying to look for it.
I make
mental notes every year to go find it and listen to it.
Wait, this is actually a thing? This is a thing?
It is a thing. It's a real thing.
No.
Yeah, did it 3 or 4 years ago. They recorded an album, and they sold it for charity. And there's a trailer video, I think, out there on YouTube, but I can never find the actual album. And if anybody has a physical copy, I know it's Mitch Robson.
No way.
It's exactly what you expect, basically.
Can you hear that?
Say what?
Can you hear it playing right now?
No, I can't.
Oh. Well, I'm playing it right now. And it's outstanding.
This is a terrible podcast.
No, it's not.
Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe.
Wait, are you just gonna play this in post? Like, we should
help
say, like, festive
to
things right now?
Make the season bright.
Did you hear that? Can you not hear that coming
no.
through? Okay. Well,
I can't.
Okay. Well, I'm listening to it right now. And I'm really hoping that came through on my mic, because that is outstanding. I didn't know this was a thing. Jack Armstrong was singing some slow Christmas song, and it was beautiful. So, there's like 27 minutes of it.
Please add...
What's that?
Yeah, please add it post and get it over our awkward conversation.
Yeah, I'll do what I can. Editing's hard, but yeah, I'll do what I can. Okay. I'll be like Jade from the True Hoop Network, just master editor. I wish I was like that. It's too hard. Anyway, I'll do my best.
Okay.
This is amazing. Okay. okay, moving on. Next question comes from Asad Alvi. What gift would you get for each of the Raptors starters? An actual gift, not an NBA skill.
Go okay. ahead. Kyle
Lowry.
Kyle Lowry first. A sponsorship with Scotiabank, so that he doesn't have to do those awful BMO basketball commercials anymore.
I would get him a Braun home trimmer so he can finally get the fade back.
Nice.
Yeah. DeMar DeRozan.
I'm going to get DeMar one of those things that you attach to the bottom of the hoop that bounces the ball back to you. so that wherever he goes, he can just find a hoop and put shots up just 24 hours a day. Just practice all the time. See, that's really all he wants to do. I'm convinced that he doesn't really have children, that he just poses with them and then goes back to the gym and takes more jump shots.
I'm going to get him a poster of Vince Carter with the quote, "I'm not going to dunk anymore," in there.
That's good. Yeah.
Next one, Damari Carroll.
I don't know. What do you get the man who has everything? I don't know. Get him a nice, like, one of those Versace photography books that you put out on your coffee table and never read, but people come in and think that your house is really magnificent because you have a Versace book, and they open it up to one page and look at a bag. And I feel like he would have multiples of those in his house already, but get him a new one and let him go to work.
All right. Mine would be – who are we on to, Mark Carroll? Oh, I'm going to get him an ensemble from the Russell Westbrook collection as shade against his fashion line.
Nice.
Yeah. Pascal Siakam.
I don't know. Some sort of backpack, because I know he's probably wearing that Dora backpack.
I don't think he has a problem with the Dora backpack. I think he's fine with it.
Yeah, get him a Herschel and just let him live a little bit.
Pascal Siakam, this is tough. Maybe just like a gift card to like Tip Top Tailors, because he talks about how he can't afford clothes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Jonas Valanciunas.
Jonas, oh, absolutely, Jonas. I'm getting him some sort of trimmer, or you know, gift certificates for a barber. Please, please get rid of the toucare.
I'm just gonna get him some. What's the one I have? Like the Got to Be sculpting paste.
Nice.
Yeah, look at him, that.
Dippity-doo.
Yeah, dippity-doo. Honorary.
The blue plastic container that looks like fentanyl if you melted it down. That's that stuff we'll get for Jonas.
All right, next one comes from Saad Alvi again. Which Raptor would be the worst to have as your secret Santa? You go.
I feel like Patrick Patterson, because you know it's going to be something movie related, and you would be able to guess immediately who it was in your office, because it's like, oh, Cineplex gift card, who could that possibly be? Oh, it's Patrick Patterson, the guy who sits in his corner office and wears his Cineplex toque and goes to the movies all the time and shows up in the Raptors rundown videos and Cineplex movie theaters and takes people to the movies and shows up to TIFF all the time and is a TIFF reporter.
Okay.
That's it. I'm done.
All right. Mine, I think it's Terrence Ross, because you know he's just getting you a bag of stuff from the bulk barn and not wrapping it. Just like as a bag. Like, oh, the wrap is enough. It's like when Creed gives Jim the shirt from his closet in the plastic bag in that episode of The Office. Like, it's just going to be a bag of blue fish.
That's good.
That's all you're getting. All right. Final question comes from Mistletoe Low at Lauren K. Parsons. Best holiday snack to eat while watching basketball?
I'll let you go first. I have so many snacks that I love.
I tell you, last Wednesday for the Sixers game, I ordered a festive special, and I ate that and then consumed the Lindor chocolates while the game was going on. That was a pretty good move for me. The festive special is a delicious treat. Do you have Swiss Chalet in Winnipeg?
We do, yeah. I live down the street from one. It's actually a Swiss Chalet Harvey's combo. And last time I was on the podcast, you and Russell berated me for never going to Harvey's.
That's right.
So technically I could go to Harvey's, order my burger, then walk five steps over and get my chicken holiday package and just pig out. That'll be my holiday snack. It's a combo Swiss Chalet Harvey's meal.
Those Lindors, man, they make all the difference for the festive special. All right, that's all we got for questions. We'll come back on the other side. We're going to get to our episode sponsor, and it'll be lots of fun. It's a guy who should have been shouted out last week, but I forgot because I am stupid and can't read Basketball Reference. We'll be back in just a second here on the headquarters. Welcome back to the headquarters. Sean Woodley here with John Godis here, wrapping things up with your episode sponsor. This week's episode is brought to you by someone who should have been shouted out last week, but did not, because I read Basketball References player index wrong and thought he wore, didn't think he wore number 50. I thought Willie Anderson wore number 50, but he did not. He wore number 40. And this week's episode sponsor is Solomon Alabi, who actually did wear number 50 and should have been shouted out for our 50th episode. So what's up, Solomon? You're here. Solomon Alabi played a grand total of 26 games for the Raptors over two seasons. He averaged a whole 1.5 points, 1.5 boards, or sorry, 2.3 rebounds, 1.5 defensive boards, 2 assists, 0.4 blocks, shooting 31% from the field as a big man. Great stuff from Solomon Alibi. Do you have any memories whatsoever of his career in Toronto?
No, I do not. And this is obviously one of the worst teams in Raptors history. And he was one of the worst players on that team. Although he was tall, so I guess that makes him memorable.
The thing with him that I'm seeing is he only played for the Raptors those 26 games. But I've already come across two headshots, one of which he's wearing a Clippers jersey, and one of which he's wearing a Hornets jersey. You didn't play for those
thirsty Clippers fans. Always photoshopping their different players' faces on their jerseys. The Lakers and the Clippers are the worst for that. Please get off of MS Paint and stop putting DeMar DeRozan in a Lakers jersey.
And Solomon Alibi.
That's what I can say about Solomon Alibi.
All right. Yeah, this was a really bad year for the Raptors. This was, of course, the 2011-12 season. This was the lockout season, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, they were not good this year. And so I found a... this is a cool game for the game. You ready to play the game?
No, I am, but I just looked up the roster, so I can't.
No, this one's easy, though. Don't look at the roster.
I turned it off.
Okay, I think we might have done this game before. That's how important this game is in Raptors history. This is a pivotal game. This was okay. Solomon Alibi's best game as a Raptor. Also happened to be the best game for another player of the Raptors. This game happened on April 26, 2012. The Raptors beat the Nets 98-67. I can't give you any more hints because there's too many hints. This was the lockout season, remember. The Raptors moved to 23-43.
Oh,
add those numbers up and that comes to something.
Yes, 66. Yeah, the devil.
How many games were in that season?
I don't know, 67.
No, there were 66 games in that season. So this is the final game of the 2011-12 season. Seven Raptors played in this game, including Solomon Alibi, who put up 11 points, 19 rebounds on 3 of 10 shooting. He had 3 blocks. This is hands down his best game as a Raptor. 6 other Raptors played in this game. What a game this was. Who do you got? One of them is a legend.
Jared Bayless.
No.
Andrea Bargnani.
No.
Jose Calderon.
No.
Who? DeMar DeRozan.
No.
What the hell?
Think of this. The last game of the 2011-12 season.
Yeah. Ed Davis?
Correct. He played 43 minutes. He had 24 points and 12 boards on 10 of 15 shooting. 2 assists. Big game for Ed Davis. Plus 25.
Oh, God. I ran through all the big names early.
Don't worry. None of the big names are playing in this game.
Okay. Linus Kleiza?
Nope.
That was after, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give me a hint.
This is a huge game in Raptors history. It changed history in terms of draft lottery odds and... Some guy who had a really big game who never really did anything for the Raptors or in the NBA ever again.
Sonny Weems?
No, come on. I'm so disappointed in you right now.
I don't know.
The last game of the 2011-12 season, some point guard did something.
Was it on CBC? Was it Kyle Lowry?
Oh my God, no.
I'm just going to disappoint you on and on here.
Are you like trolling me at this point? Because it's so
obvious. No. Tell me.
The point guard who played in the Olympics this summer for Team Nigeria.
Solomon Alibi?
Oh my God. You're trolling now, right?
No, I'm not. I'm really not.
This is the Ben Uzo game.
Oh, yeah.
Last game of 2011-12. Yeah, where he had the triple-double. 12 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds. 6 of 19 from the field.
And see, unlike you who holds on to all his negative memories, I just let all these years go.
No, you can't do that. This game is too important in Raptors history. It's the reason Terrence Ross is on the Raptors.
That's great. I mean, it's great now.
Yeah. Okay, there's 5 other Raptors in this game.
Jesus.
Four others. You already got Ed Davis. I told you Ben Uzo, and you got Solomon Alibi.
Yeah, okay, great.
So this
I got the episode sponsor.
Yeah, so you're one of three of the ones that we've actually revealed so far. One of them plays, I think, for the Clippers right now.
Is it Luke Mbah-a-Mute?
No, he's never played for the Raptors.
Paul Pierce.
What are you doing?
I'm trolling you now because I'm never going to get this.
Okay, Alan Anderson played this game.
Oh, okay.
45 minutes. He had 20 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, and 6 of 16 shooting. Plus 32, though.
Ben Uzo was... This is brutal. I'm looking at the answers now. How did you expect me to get any of these?
Because it's like the worst game ever played by the Raptors. Like,
did they only dress 7 people?
They only played 7 guys. I'm assuming they dressed more, but, you know.
Wow.
I don't know. Gary Forbes played in this game. He also a former episode sponsor. 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals on 8 of 21 shooting. Played 40 minutes. James Johnson played this game. 19 minutes, 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 of 7. Very underutilized compared to the rest of the team. And Jamal McGlure.
Big cat.
5 minutes, no points, no assists, 4 rebounds, no shot attempts. I think that might have been his last game as an NBA player. So yeah, that's that team from that game. Uzo, Anderson, Davis, Johnson, McGlure, Forbes, and Alibi. That sounds like a t-shirt to me.
Yeah, wow. and they won by 31 points.
Yeah, this Nets team is so bad.
Yeah, let's go through it. Jordan Williams, Marshawn Brooks, Gerald Green, Sundiatic Gaines.
Who was our sponsor like 2 weeks ago?
Deshaun Stevenson, and then off the bench, Johan Petro,
yep.
Armand Johnson, and Anthony Morrow. And
I think
the
like
score is Jordan Williams and Gerald Green. Oh no, Johnson and Morrow off the bench with 11 points each.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure half of the guys who played in this game for the Nets got traded for Joe Johnson.
That's true, and the Nets shot 30% and a cool 33% from three.
Oh my god. The Raptors weren't much better. I mean, they scored a lot. They were 10 of 19 from 3, but they were... I guess they shot 42% from the field. There's just some wonky stat lines, like Uzo 6 of 19, Anderson 6 of 16, Forbes 8 of 21. How did Gary Forbes get 21 fucking shots in an NBA game?
And the sad part is that Raptors only finished one game better than this awful Nets team.
God, this is definitely the second time we've talked about this game on this podcast, because when we had Uzo as the sponsor, we definitely went over it. But this game can't be revisited enough.
No.
I'm absolutely going out and finding a custom-made Uzo and Anderson and Davis and Johnson and McGlure and Forbes and Alibi shirt.
Nice.
Don't steal that idea, anybody. I know someone's going to do that. But all right. Thank you so much for joining me, John. This was a fun bar burner of a podcast, if I must say so myself.
Yeah, great way to end 2016.
What is a barn burner exactly?
A basketball game where both teams score a lot of points.
Okay, I guess that's what this was. I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me, man. Anything coming down to the site from you that people can check out?
Power 4 Friday column coming up this week.
Yes.
And for pressbasketball.com, I'm going to be writing about Dennis Rodman. I'll be out this week too.
Cool. Yeah, make sure to check out that. Check out Press Basketball. They're doing great work over there. John is on Twitter at John Cotis. I am at Woodley Sean. The show is on iTunes. Find the show, the headquarters. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. We'd very much appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. This was a lot of fun, and we look forward to talking to you in 2017. When the Raptors will be full of Paul Millsaps and title aspirations and all that fun stuff. So thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Raptors win! Get out the salami and cheese, brother! This ball game is over!